Have you ever truly worshipped while singing a Christmas carol? My worship leader is like, oh, I hope so. Have you ever really paid attention to the words? Or are they just so familiar that it's like singing happy birthday to somebody? You do it just out of routine, but you don't really think about the words. I hope the opposite is true. But that's what this series is all about. It's going to take a closer look at some of our favorite and familiar Christmas carols and realize the truth and the power contained within them. You can see the banners around the sanctuary. Oh, come all ye faithful. Do you see what I see? Joy to the world. Oh, holy night. Star of wonder, silent night. Today, we're going to be looking at the carol, Oh Come All You Guys. I had to do it one more time. Today, up here, you know, it's a completely different view, you know. Yesterday, at the service, I think, I saw backs of heads, which is what you get. You guys see back, and one person or worshiping, I see a sea of people. It's wonderful. This view, you should come up here and preach a sermon sometime. Today we're going to be looking at the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. It was originally written in Latin, which is why I can't get it out in English today. And it was given the title Adest Fidelis. It was written by John Francis Wade, an 18th century hymnist. It was translated into English in 1841 by Frederick Oakley. And it's a carol that's become a favorite of many over the years. The first line says, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. There are many people today who feel anything but joyful and triumphant. In fact, the reality is many people are just feeling defeated and depressed. O come all ye faithful. Maybe I don't feel like coming. I've already been running around like crazy and getting ready for Christmas. But wait. Christmas is about Christ and His coming and His inviting us to come to Him. So we should come and adore Him. But I also don't feel very joyful. You know, many of us are struggling through unemployment, illness, loss. There's unrest in the streets. There's the stress of holiday shopping and parties and spending. But Christ came as the Prince of Peace, not the Prince of Stress. He came to bring joy to the world. But that's another carol for another Sunday. I don't feel triumphant. In fact, triumphant's not even a word in my normal vocabulary. The problem is, a lot of us are feeling a lot more defeated than triumphant. People think, I couldn't find the right gifts. A lot of people don't have enough money for all the gifts they want to buy. So they put them on the credit card. And you want to see defeat? Wait till that credit card bill comes in January. Joyful and triumphant. Have you been shopping lately? For me, there's very little joy or triumph at the mall. For me, I don't know about you, but going to the mall at Christmas, it just sucks the joy right out of me. I'm ready to check out, and there's two different lines. They have the exact same number of people, and every time I pick the wrong line, I end up in the line with a person who's writing a check. Who writes checks anymore? And then there's the coupon lady in front of me. And then I get that person who picked an item that doesn't have a barcode on it, and they're calling for a price check. And we know there's nobody back there in that department to do the price check. Because they're all busy. It's Christmas. So you wind up waiting forever. And my joy is gone. I'm frustrated. And I'm not feeling the least bit triumphant. Until, of course, I leave that place. But as I look at this song, I think about the question, who does Jesus call to come to him? In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus called the weary and the burdened, the stressed and the frustrated. He calls those who are struggling emotionally, physically, and financially. Jesus also calls the sinners. Matthew 9:12-13 says, On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." You could almost rewrite this song and have it say, "O come all ye sinners, weary and burdened, O come ye to Bethlehem." The good news is, though, that Jesus doesn't leave us in that condition. He may find us in a state of being weary and burdened, struggling with sin, trying everything, but finding nothing working for us. But he won't leave us there if we'll just realize that we need him and if we simply turn to him. And when we call on him, something beautiful happens. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. God wants us to know that we can become a new person. Jesus will help us to get rid of the old and to become that new person. So if we become a new person, what type of new person is it that Jesus helps us to become? Well, Jesus helps us to become more faithful. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Our faithfulness comes from the one who authors our faith. It comes from Jesus. He gives us faith, and then he goes about the work of perfecting it in us. How does he do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." When we hear God's word, our faith is built up. Let's read a passage from Isaiah as an example. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 and 3. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Those of us who believe in Jesus and have become this new person inside, when we hear those words, we can feel our faith being built up. And Jesus helps us to become even more faithful as we're more into his word and as it gets inside of us and God's word speaks to our hearts. So first, Jesus helps us to become more faithful. And Jesus also helps us to become more joyful. Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy." What are we saying here? Our joy comes from a right relationship with God. It's not something that we can produce on our own. In fact, that new person that we talked about, the Bible says that when we receive Christ, God puts his Spirit inside of us. And that same Spirit raised Christ from the dead. And a fruit of that Spirit living inside of us is joy. But please understand that joy and happiness are worlds apart. Happiness depends on happenings. But joy depends on Jesus. Happiness depends on what's going on in my life right now. You see, my circumstances often determine the state of my happiness. New episode of Star Trek this week. I'm happy. But joy, that comes from Jesus. That comes from way down deep. That comes from something that's not a part of this world. That comes from something that is placed in us by the living God and put inside our spirit. And out of that overflow, the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy comes out, because happiness depends on happiness, but joy depends on Jesus. We see this in the Christmas story as the angels are telling the shepherds what's going on in town. In Luke 2, 10 and 11, the Bible says, "The angels said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people.'" Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. A Savior has been born. And that causes great joy. So Jesus helps us become more faithful and more joyful. And Jesus helps us to become more triumphant. We tend to feel more triumphant, more confident, and more courageous when we have another person in our life to back us up, don't we? Proverbs tells us that two are stronger than one, and we know that to be true. But when we fail to realize that the living God is the greatest one we could ever have, but what we fail to realize is that the living God is the greatest one that we could ever have watching our back. Hundreds of years before Christ's birth, Isaiah wrote this prophecy about his coming. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. On the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. His reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." And that's pretty triumphant, isn't it? That little baby in the manger is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the giver of life, the Prince of Peace, and the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who spoke everything into existence. He's the bread of life. He's our salvation and the lifter of our head. And as the song says, he is born the King of Angels, and we should come and adore him. For he is Christ the Lord. And that's pretty triumphant. So we need to recognize who's fighting on our side with us. We need to recognize who wants to help us live triumphantly. My prayer is that as we hear the truth in the lyrics of this song, "O come all ye faithful." Why? Because we can live that faithful, joyful, triumphant life, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. So, O come all ye faithful, be joyful and triumphant. Come to Bethlehem and see him who is born King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. He is Emmanuel, God with us. During this Christmas season, we celebrate the fact that God sent us the greatest gift in the form of his Son, Jesus. If you're having trouble feeling joyful or triumphant about a situation in your life, maybe you just need to realize who it is that's on your side. Maybe you just need to admit, yes, I'm having a faith struggle right now. I am lacking joy right now. I'm not feeling triumphant at all. Instead, I'm feeling defeated and depressed. But we all need to recognize that our joy is found in Jesus' presence in our lives. I pray that this Christmas season, the majesty and the power of God would be felt in a tangible way in your life. Perhaps the reason you don't feel joyful or triumphant is because you've not established that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've tried some things, but they just aren't working for you. Let me tell you what does work. What does work is Jesus. When Jesus comes into your life, a new life begins. We're then brought back into a relationship with God because of what Christ did for us by dying for our sins on the cross. It's not because we've done anything good. It's because of Christ's goodness and love for us. When we believe and trust in these things, that's what works. Well, what happens then? The old life, the old person is gone, and a new life begins. And all of that stuff that you've been trying that doesn't work can be gone. But what does work is Jesus as he sends his Spirit to live inside of you. The Spirit that helps to bring love and joy and peace and patience. Things that we can't find on our own, but we can find them through a right relationship with God. And today, there are those of you who God has brought here to hear this very truth. The question is, will you respond and receive the greatest Christmas present you could ever receive? A new life in Jesus Christ.